form, though.
Okay.
It kind of provides a new color palette for the next soloist.
Okay.
At times that can help. So why don't we try, let's just do fours around. You guys trade, just try to develop one idea around the three of you.
Okay.
So Adam, why don't you go first again? All right. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
I was trying to think how to follow, but I couldn't figure anything out. I couldn't figure out how to follow what they were doing at the.
No, you kind of did. I mean, I heard Shane.
The last time I did.
Right.
But the first time I was like, oh, that was right.
But Jonathan said one interesting thing that sometimes we can just follow or repeat the rhythms. Don't worry about it. Whatever.
There's that too. But one thing I always like to do with these guys is this guy tone exercise where you start with just one note and you're moving either a whole step or a half step up or down or staying the same. So for example, you could go through the whole tune and just. See how I'm just, I did that pretty quickly, but see how you're just, because I think with you guys I've done this before. Where you're just picking a note and picking a direction, and it's just up to your ears to figure out where the closest place to go is. So going through a tune like that, starting in different places, you tend to get a sense of what little motions happen within a scale or within an arpeggio, and that really helps in terms.
So you're, I mean, like in the first three measures, if you go G to A, and if you go back to G sharp, and then back to A,
right,
that covers.
Exactly.
Then
yeah,
you have to need a little bit more of a leap to go to the C. For the C major, you need an E or a B flat.
Right.
Or a B, but that's.
Well, I mean, sometimes.
I guess you don't have to use a guide tone
for
that.
Also, yeah, I mean, a guide tone could also be loosely like a ninth.
Yeah, okay.
Or something like that. If you expand it a little bit, then you can end up with some interesting things.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you usually end up landing on thirds or sevenths or fifths or maybe even roots. But the idea of that is, Goody, what in the world?
No, I'm sorry. This has much thicker wires than this one.
Interesting.
And I was like, because I noticed I swapped it. I was like, oh, it sounds better on the snare. just sounds better on the ride, right? Because it's a heavier.
Maybe.
I don't know if that's on purpose. I
don't know. Maybe it is.
You're thinking like a drum.
In any case, you end up with a lot of interesting half step motions that way, which helps you when you're trying to slide between chords.
Right. It allows you to work through more complicated chord progressions too.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, even simple ones, just a bunch of different ways of getting through it, is really helpful. So I heard some of that with you guys. We've done that quite a bit before you joined us. But one thing you can start doing beyond that is playing with different intervals. So most of the ideas that you guys were passing around were kind of within, you know, a step or two of each other. You know, I heard, for example, things like that. What you can also start getting used to is you practice your scales and steps first, but then eventually, you know, instead of maybe
that's thirds, right? So that's thirds.
Yeah, that's thirds. Just using different intervals and sometimes getting a wider spacing by arpeggiating,
right,
as opposed to just going up in scales. Because that tends to delineate harmony a little more clearly when you want to, and then all your scalar stuff becomes a nice contrast to that. You guys try. Let's just try going.